Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's happening, listeners? Now, if you would like to support the podcast, then please sign up at patreon.com/JackSkipper. When you sign up, you get access to the Get to the Extra Good Stuff podcast with me and my brother Joseph. That's us just having a right old laugh. More stories from Joseph, basically the stories that he's not brave enough to say on the main podcast. You'll also get access to my weekly solo podcast. That's just me thinking aloud, basically. That's how I come up with my ideas for sketches or stand-up. I just write down observations or my thoughts of the week and I just say them out loud and see what comes up. Not only that, but the main podcast that comes out every Monday, you'll get early access to that on the Friday. And not only that, for a limited time only, just for signing up, you'll get a personalized sketch. I usually do these on Cameo, but just for signing up, you'll get a personalized sketch. Pick one of my comedy characters, tell me what you want me to say and who you want to send it to, and I'll do that for you just for signing up. So you get all that for just £3 a month. That is like, what, half a lager in some places. Half a lager a month, you get all that. So all you got to do is go to www.patreon.com/JackSkipper, sign up, download the app, and that is all there waiting for you. Anyway, that's enough waffle from me. Let's get to the good stuff.
Doesn't sound like the usual mindless, boring, getting-to-know-you chit-chat. That sounds like you actually have something to say.
Well,
why are we having these conversations? What the hell am I doing here?
Now's the good stuff.
Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of Get to the Good Stuff with Jack Skipper. My guest this week is a comedian, a podcaster, an all-round good guy, Rich Wilson.
Thanks, mate. Good to see you, Jack. You well?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Lovely.
But you know how this podcast works?
I do.
We don't fuck about.
No.
We get straight into it.
Straight in.
On that note, have you ever shit yourself?
We don't fuck about it.
We don't fuck about, mate.
We were coming in here and like, well, we're going to chat about this, chat about that. All right.
No.
Yeah, I have.
Good.
I have, as an adult.
We all have.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this podcast, though, is anyone says they haven't shit themselves is lying.
Fucking liar.
Of course they have.
It's one of those, you obviously don't, like, you're not like a toddler. I mean, being like a little kid, yeah. And they just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, to have the freedom to do that, because you know someone somewhere is going to sort you out. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Depends on your missus as well. Yeah, I mean,
that's what we're doing. Yeah. You do that thing. You can, yeah. I mean, as the base.
She said she loves it.
She starts picking me up by my ankles, wiping my ass. Yeah, I did. I went to this. So this is about 20 odd years ago, and I was for some reason I got interested in. I wanted to find out about the Bible, right? Because I was slagging it off. And I'm like,
how's this just a story about shitting yourself?
Oh, it gets better. Yeah. So there was this thing called the Alpha Course. And someone I knew was doing it. And she said, well, why don't you... She was talking about it. And she said, well, come with me to this Alpha Course. Right. So
what is the Alpha Course?
So the Alpha Course is where they teach you about the Bible, right. Basically.
Where?
There's a load of them, all over. Bear Grylls is advertising it at the minute.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so I went, yeah, all right. Because I don't want to... I'm one of those people, like, I want to find out about it before I slag it off. You know, I was interested. So we go along, and the first time you go, there's places all over. This was down in Chatham in Kent. And they have this, like a banquet thing. So you're all there, and it's a dinner. And to this day, I don't know why I just didn't go to the toilet. I was just being really polite. And you know, like my guts are turning. And I'm like, oh, I really need to fart, right? So instead of, so I just held it in. I held it in all night.
What that means though, for like that your whole adult life, you've known if your brain goes, I need a poo, go and poo.
Yeah.
Why is this? Like,
well, I thought it was a fart. So I'm like, I'll just hold on to it. Why? I don't even know why. I don't know. Maybe I was in bad. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't. To this day, I don't know why I didn't say.
You didn't know if Christians were okay with that.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they don't have an arsehole. I didn't have any toilet. So all night long, I've held on to this, whatever. And so it's all building up. It's all building up. My guts are in turmoil. And then I walk out to the car as we're leaving. And I walk out. And as I open the car, I'm stood by the car. I just went, oh, fuck, I can just let it go. Yeah. And I blew all tanks. And just stood there. And once it goes, you can't stop it. You can't think. It's not.
No, it's carrying.
Yeah, yeah. Carrying on. So I was like, oh, no. Yeah, and she's going, are you all right? I'm like, nah, nah. Hanging onto the door of the car, like, nah, nah. She just goes, you haven't, have you? And I went, I've shit my pants.
I like the things I like about that. Usually people go, I've just shit myself. It's no, I am shitting myself right now as I'm speaking to you. Are you still going? Yeah, I'm still going.
I couldn't. There was no way back. I'd open the floodgates. It was piling out of me.
Because like. Usually as well, when you shit yourself, sorry, this is so graphic, but usually it's like a wet one and you go, oh God. Yeah. But it sounds like you're probably curling one out.
I let it go. Because normally you can hold on. There's a weird thing that your ass does. Like you can I don't know how you do it with the muscles, but you can kind of like, it feels like you're lifting the poo out of the way to let the gas out, right? You're like taking the pressure off. And I was like, well, I'll just do that. Anyway, so I got that. It just went, and I'm hanging up the door going, nah, nah. Yeah.
On the way home, you're like, the Bible's not for me.
Yeah, that was it. Nah. Clearly the devil was in me.
Yeah, somewhere. I'm going to swerve the Bible from now on, I think. It's not a bit of me, I reckon.
Nah, if it does that, it has that reaction. I ended up with, oh God. So I had to chuck the whole thing away. So I had to chuck away trousers and pants. Normally.
Where? In the car park?
Yeah, in the car park. Yeah, so I had to. She had a towel in the back of the car. I think it was for the dog. And I had to use that to wrap it around myself. And I just wiped myself down. And we're driving back, silence. We've never spoken about it again.
That's why you held it in, though. I don't know why.
There was obviously toilets there. I don't even know why I went.
So what was this Bible thing? Explain what was...
So what they do, each week, you'd go, and then they explain different chapters in the Bible and then explain what it actually means and things, and you're learning about the teachings of.
So this is week one. Cool. This is the first episode.
That's before I even started.
We ain't got it yet.
This is introduction. This is just to see if they want you in the group.
Oh, right.
So a bit of that, and then I did go to a couple, and each week I'm like, oh, I don't know, this doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. And then one week, if the bloke went, right, next week we're going to talk about miracles. And I'm like, oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah. So anyway, we'll come back. And he goes, right, let me give you an example of a miracle. Yeah. So he goes, we wanted to buy a house. I'm like, already, I'm like, oh, fuck off. Yeah. He said, and then a relative died, left us a load of money. Yeah. And then we were able to buy this house. I'm like, it's not a miracle, is it? A miracle is if you lose a leg and it grows back.
Yeah, or you got a spare pair of trousers.
Yeah. A miracle.
It's a fucking miracle.
I was wearing a nappy. It turns out a miracle is when your arsehole's shut, pinch shut. But yeah, he said that, and I went, well, that's not a miracle. That's bollocks. And then they do this big thing, and they go like, right, you've been coming for a few weeks now. We want to invite you to our church. And you're like, all right. And then the woman I was with, she's like, oh, this is a big deal. Like, get invited to the church. So anyway, she, and we were on the way there, and she went, last week, so there was this guy, he started speaking in tongues. I'm like, wow, I'd love to hear that. Anyway, so I'm there, right? I've been to the toilet, I was fine. And then we do this bit, they do this bit where they just go, right now, put your eyes down and have a bit of prayer, like silent prayer. And he stood there, and then I heard the guy, this guy goes, and he goes off, and he's in tongue.
He's like, just making up, though.
Well, that was it, right? Yeah. So I'm looking at the floor, and I'm like, oh, wow, Keys is doing it, man. Keys is doing it. And I just thought I'd look to see who was doing it. So I looked up. And as I looked up, I just saw him sort of look around to see if anyone saw it. You fucking tosser.
Yeah. Thing is, as well, it's not like it's like walking on water. Speaking in tongue, it's just like, it's just gibberish. Anyone can do it.
Anyone can do it.
Is it like, oh, look at him. He's accent, just right? saying words that make no sense.
Mate, it was off on one. And everyone was like, and I was like, oh, this is bullshit. This is such bullshit. I mean, no, I'm not poo-pooing anyone.
Hey!
I'm so sorry about that. That's shit. But, you know, you believe what you believe. But that I came away from that not believing even less.
It was just... Where are you now with religion and stuff?
I mean, it would be beautiful, wouldn't it, to think that there was something out there looking after you or there was a plan.
Yeah.
But everything's so fucked. And they go, well, that's because it's all down to human beings. Like, man is fucking it up.
Yeah.
Whereas God's plan is this, this, and this.
Yeah.
But it's human beings that are ruining it. And you're like, that sounds like a bit of a cop-out.
Is there a religion that you think, I can get on with that? I can sort of start
I think anything that... Well, with the fundamental thing of all religions I've worked out is that it's all about being decent to each other.
Yeah.
They're all pretty much similar.
Yeah.
But there's always different things on top, different whatever. And I think that I think Buddhism's pretty cool. That's all pretty chill, a lot of meditation and a lot of, you know,
Everyone's always alright with the Buddhists, isn't they?
Yeah. I bet they're the biggest pricks going.
See, go to one of their parties.
You never trust a quiet one.
They're all quiet, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't trust this. Too much silence. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
What are you up to? All shitting themselves quietly. So yeah, I believe I'd like there. Oh yeah, it'd be nice if there was something, but as yet, there hasn't been any hard evidence. And then when you talk to people about it, like I was talking to a comedian, Damon Bamra, who was on my podcast,
okay.
And he's a Sikh.
Right.
And I was talking to him about what that means and his beliefs and how he was brought up. And it's a similar sort of thing. He said, you just have to believe it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I have to have something in front of me that goes, I'm going to believe in that.
Have you ever messed around with psychedelics?
All the time.
Yeah. Because I thought, this is why I've done it quite a bit.
Mm.
And this is what I thought. This is my understanding of like a higher power. Or God. My mum's in recovery. She talks about higher power. Mm. And I've chatted to her about that sort of stuff, right?
Right.
And I think, what is my understanding of higher power? And I've never been able to work it out. But then I had a few like mushroom and acid trips and stuff. I worked out what my understanding of it is, right? The energy between everything, energy between it. And I realized that this, because you can see it, can't you? When you can see the energy between you can actually think, oh, fucking hell. And I remember like having that thing like realizing I have the power to walk into a room and change that room.
Yeah.
With that, whatever that energy is, I can create that and make that. So I can this room now, I can make it fucking shit. I'm doing it right now. But do you know what I mean, though? You have that. It's in your power to set a mood or set. And I even do it with like my own kids sometimes. Because sometimes, as a parent, you get carried away with things, and sometimes you get in your own head, and sometimes you think, "Fucking hell, my kids are seeing me stressed out here. This ain't good for it." And if you can actually choose to go, right, I'm gonna be good and create a nice, you just see their faces change.
Yeah.
Or see the way that, and that's my understanding.
Mate, you remember when you were a kid? I mean, we don't really know each other, but working class backgrounds.
Yeah.
And I just remember the mood would change in the house when Dad got in from work.
Yeah.
Like, you knew Dad was in because he's had a shit day at work.
Yeah.
And he's come in and you're sat in his chair.
Yeah.
And he's like, the only thing I got out of this poxy life is that chair and you are sat in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he changed it. We'd all be running around like lunatics with lightsabers and throwing things at each other. And then, oh shit, Dad's in.
Yeah.
And it would just change.
I've got to stay present with it sometimes because like my kids would be laughing and having a good time. Like, oh, you shut up. I've just ruined that for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, but in the opposite way, I remember like as a kid, you remember being on a holiday and your dad gets in the pool.
Yeah.
That's a fucking wow. What a moment. You know what I mean? Like,
oh my God.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's it.
I remember my dad sitting down with me one day. I was playing with my cars when I was little. And he goes, you need a road for your cars. And then he got a blanket and then he put a load of boxes and bricks and things underneath the blanket. And he created like valleys and things like that. That's one of the best days of my life.
That sticks in your head though, doesn't it? That's it.
And it's the same with comedy. When you walk out on stage, it's you can change your room.
Yeah,
that's why I always say to people when they're starting out, like you've got to get out, you've got to walk out, like smiley face and go, fucking come on in.
Yeah,
I'm having this.
Yeah, you got to show them that I can do this. Trust me. Because I think I've learned from comedy so far is that the main thing is self-awareness, knowing how you come across.
Yeah.
So it can be like, sometimes it's like even the jokes ain't good, but you just, someone aware of who they are, it just puts confidence in everyone. And I think it's just like, I think, but comedy with me, it's helped me out a little bit.
Yeah, really?
In my brain, like a little bit, like, because a lot of it, you see a lot of like, you know, like self-deprecation and all that sort of stuff where it's like, being honest, it makes you go deeper in, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it makes you go deeper in, and then you just take the piss out yourself.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't want to do it, do you? You want to say, no, I'm not like that. If you actually go, I am like that, and have a laugh about it.
But it's funnier to do that. It's funnier to mock the bits. It's funnier to mock yourself than it is to walk. Because it's not funny to walk out and go, bit of a ledge.
Yeah.
Great in bed. Massive cock, whatever. You've got to walk out and go,
I've got to change my act then.
Yeah, yeah. You're the new breed. us oldies, we walk out and go, oh, I wish I had a bigger cock.
I've got to really change that opener.
You go swaggering out, cock just flapping. Ladies. It's self-deprecation is funny. And, it's funny. Like, when we talked about this podcast, what's funny is that you're talking about where we fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like when you're in green rooms and you're talking to other comics. No one wants to hear about when you roofed it. No one wants to hear about when you smashed it. I want to hear about the time you walked out and someone called you a cunt.
It's funny, isn't it? It's funny. I watched an old Norm MacDonald interview the other day.
Yeah.
And he was saying about, like, because sometimes that thing, isn't it? Like, no one wants to know how clever you are.
No.
Why are you trying to show me how clever you are? Like, it's about how you fucked up.
Yeah.
We want to hear how you failed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's funny.
People will work out what you are. They'll work out if you're clever or not. They'll work it all out.
Yeah.
They'll work out if what your sexuality is. They'll work out if whether you've got ADHD and all that other caper that people are using as selling points now. They'll work it out.
Yeah.
But if you talk about whatever you want to talk about, people will go, oh, so he's this and he's that and he's the other. And people will know. They'll go, oh yeah, that's a funny story, but he sounds like he's all right
because it's authentic. It's like you can't fake
it's authenticity. You can't fake.
Yeah,
and that and audiences will pick up on it.
Yeah,
they will, and you're getting it a lot now. People walking out and before they've even said a joke, they're going, right, I'm this, I'm that. And then Jeff Innocent does this brilliant bit when he does his comedy courses. He's like, show not tell. Do your stuff. And from that, people will go, oh, so you're bisexual because of what you've just been taught by that joke you just said.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you've got ADHD because you said that joke. And so people work it out. But now we're walking out with menus going...
CV.
Yeah. Like, oh, mate, fucking, I've just been just coming from work.
Yeah.
I need you to make me laugh.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, self-deprecation is funny. Oh, that's funny. When you do self-deprecation in, like, New Zealand, because they're pretty solid people and they're beautiful people.
Yeah. My brother said, he lived there, he said, they're so nice.
They're so nice.
Yeah.
And you'll do a couple of jokes, quite self-deprecating. I did this, I was at the Classic in Auckland, and about the third or fourth joke in, this bloke in the front row goes, all right, mate, it's all right.
Yeah, he felt sorry for you.
Yeah, he felt sorry. Yeah. And I'm like, I know, mate, I'm just having a laugh. I can't, you know.
I think I've had that before where I've written like a bit and I've tried it, and then the audience just end up feeling sorry for you. You're like, no, I'm fine with it. I'm having a laugh. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. They're like, no, come on, man.
I had it in Brighton. I had it in Brighton Comedia. Yeah. I can't remember what I'd said, but the whole room went, oh, that's like 300 people. And I had to sit on a chair and go, look, let me explain what I'm doing. And I said what I just said. And I'm like, I can't walk out here and go, actually, I'm pretty solid.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, people seem to love me. I'm having a nice time. You know, great in bed. No complaints. Blah, blah, blah.
Again, stealing my act.
Yeah. Like, but it's, you know, we've all fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's why I like this podcast, because we fuck up.
And let's know, you can be Marcel Lecon. He can do that.
Marcel Lecon
can do that.
Yes, he can.
He's a character, but yeah, he can do that.
He can do that.
But it's the level of self-awareness.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? So you know it's a joke, or you know it's a character. You've got to have that level of the self-awareness.
He's an arrogant,
do you know what I mean?
Arrogant Parisian.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he can kind of, he's like, walks out and goes, well, yeah, you're lucky to be in my presence.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't walk out like that. I'm from Bromley.
do you know my favourite thing in general? And a lot of my sketches are about this. It's bloke. I mainly take the piss out of blokes, the way blokes are, right?
Yeah.
Because I like this thing where people show off but they do it like indirectly. They think they're doing it. Like for example, there's a geezer I used to work with, right? And he went, yeah, my missus wants this engagement ring, and it's 10 grand. And I've said, I'm not doing a whole month's wage on a ring. And it's like, that's what makes me laugh. Because it's that thing of like, he wants you to go, you earn 10 grand a month. That indirect showing off is my favourite thing.
I love that.
I love it. That's why The Office was so good. Because it's that thing of showing off and doing it like so people don't notice what you're doing. You know what I mean? Oh, I love it. It's my favourite thing.
But people don't think you can tell. Oh, the virtue signalling as well that goes on. People, and you go, you've literally just said this whole thing because you wanted to mention that one thing that you did, you helped someone across the road or something like that.
Brilliant. But I find it hysterical. Right, question two. What's the worst thing you've done for money?
I've never had any money. And when I've had it, I've spunked it. I'm so bad with money, it's shocking.
I am fucking awful.
Just, honestly, it's like water through my fingers. Yeah. It just goes. You get involved with bits and pieces here and there. And, luckily for me, I was never criminally minded. I'm not that way inclined. Right. And I've got mates of mine from way back that are like proper naughty people. And I remember when I needed a bit of work, I said to my mate, I'm like, oh, you got anything like a bit of driving? And he just went, it's not for you. And that was it. And I'll never forget him for that, because he could have gone, yeah, here, drive this, you mug. And get banged up for 40 years. But I've done all sorts of things, you've got involved with whatever, but it wasn't really the worst thing I did. It was the most unusual thing I've done. Right. So about 15, nearly 20 years ago now, I needed a job. I've had kids since I was 20 years old. Right. I've talked about this in my set. And so I needed a job. And my mate used to go to this gay sauna down in Rochester. And he's gay. He didn't just go down there, having a wander around.
Just popped in for that. Needed a massage.
So he went, oh, they need staff in the sauna. So I'm like, yeah, go on then, I'll do that. So I went down there and he introduces me to everybody, and then he's like, he goes, oh, don't tell him you're straight because it might be a bit funny. Because I didn't care. I was like, look, your sexuality is irrelevant. I don't give a shit. As long as whatever you want to make love to is old enough, woolly or inanimate, right? Which is what I say in my act. It don't matter. So anyway, my mate gets me the job. So I'm there for a few weeks, and all the lads coming in, they're all like, well, who are you? Like, we don't know you from the scene. Where have you come from? And I'm like, so I had to invent this whole backstory about I've just moved to the area, I've done this, I've done that. Oh, and then I said, I'm living with a girl, but she doesn't know. And, oh, yeah. It got real EastEnders. It was really EastEnders.
That's the backstory.
Yeah, God.
You start believing it yourself.
Yeah. To this day, I'm like, oh, can't remember that. So I ended up working in this sauna. And then I got friendly with a few of the guys who used to come in. And in one of them, he says to me, he goes, I really want to spend a night with you. And I'm like, oh, fuck, oh, shit, I need the money, I don't want to lose the job. And I went, well, you could nosh me off for 100 quid, right? Yeah, I know. I don't even know why I thought that.
You'd be skinny,
aren't you? I was on like £30 a day. So anyway, that ended up, he went, he goes, I'd love to do that. What he actually said was, he goes, I want to suck you off. Right. And I'll pay for it. That's how it came about.
That's a better version of the story. Yeah. You just coming up with.
I'm doing it how I do it in my act. But how what actually happened was, he said, I want to nosh you off and I'll pay for it. That was it, I remember.
I was thinking a little bit, Rich, thinking.
Yeah, that's arrogant.
Yeah, fucking hell. Charging already.
Because I've done that set so many times. That's how it seems a bit more palatable. But what he actually said was, I want to suck you off and I'll pay for it. So
it's be authentic, isn't it?
Yeah. It just seems funny. So I was like, all right then. All right, fine. Let's do that then. So we ended up, we arranged it and we did it. And I'm not gay, but I was like, and it was just weird because I've not been in that situation before. So I didn't know. Yes, I didn't know what to do. And I'm like, but this is all right. Okay. Well, I'm in for a penny. Right. So he goes, it's all right. He goes, it's all right. Just lay here and I'll take care of it. So he's sort of lying there and I'm looking up. I'm like looking up, and he's and it's all going on down there. And then I'm like, and then I'm panicking, going, "Ah, oh, what if I can't get it up?" And he's already given me the money. It's in my pocket. So I'm like, I don't know how, if I can't get it out. And I'm like, oh, sorry, mate. Yeah. I've got to give it back. So anyway, I'm lying there, and then I'm thinking about all the things that I'm into. Like going, oh, yeah, that, oh, yeah, that, and yeah, and yeah. And I'm like, oh, actually, that feels all right. That's quite nice, actually. And you get the thing. And then I'm like, oh, shit, he's going to want me to come, isn't he? Otherwise, it's, I don't know.
I love it if you say this out loud.
Yeah, imagine that. he's like, oh, is it?
Who put me off, mate?
Yeah. Can you keep it down? Inside voice. So then we finish, and then and he's over the moon. Yeah. He's like, oh mate, he goes, that was amazing, it was amazing. And I'm like, yeah, thanks for that. I don't know, like, shake his hand, like, it's got car dealers.
Maybe you've lost your character though, because you're saying you're gay in the story, like to him, he thinks you're gay, didn't he?
Well, what happened was, so that was that time. And then he said, as I was leaving, he went, look, if you ever want to do it again, he goes, I'm really into it. And I went, all right, yeah, fine. And so
were you into it? Were you thinking?
Well, because I wasn't, it felt nice, but I was like, oh, it's 100 quid. And it was like, get another 100 quid out of it.
Anyway. 100 quid.
So then he goes, you want to do it again?
How did he pay? Cash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, proper, right? So then he goes.
I'll transfer you that later.
Yeah.
I'll leave off.
Well, listen, get on this. So you said, did he know? Yeah. So I said, I went, yeah, I'll do it again. And then, and I felt really bad. And so when we were talking, I went, look, I have to tell you. I said, don't tell anyone else. I said, but I'm straight. Yeah. And he goes, I know. I went, how do you know? He went, well, you all fucking know. Everyone in the place knows. He goes, you're not fooling anyone. That's why I wanted to do it.
Yeah, no, you know why? Because he's just won 500 quid. He's happy to give it.
You don't know. I knew it.
That's why he's flash with the money. He's like, I bet you 500 quid I can suck him off.
And they all come out of the woodwork, sucking it. Ah, can't believe it.
He's done you there.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. So he knew, and that was his thing. He's like, it's the fact that you're straight and we're doing that is what is the real, that's why I wanted to give you that money. Right. So I was like, you know, it's funny because I've told the story the way I've told it so many times. I've forgotten all about these actual events. So yeah, that was that. So it wasn't necessarily the worst thing I've done, but it's the most unusual.
It's the most extreme.
Yeah, and it made me realise, oh, well, I'm not gay, because when you're growing up, you're not.
Sounds pretty gay.
It's very gay. But when you're growing up, you're like, am I gay? Am I straight? Because I had this thing in the 90s, early 90s, where I thought I fancied Howard from Take That.
Right.
I had a real thing. I was like, do I fancy him? Yeah. But it wasn't. It was just like, I admired him. I liked what he looked like. And I was like, oh, I wish I looked like that. But I'm not 6'4". And then take that. So,
I know. I know what you think. Because like, as in, you know when you sort of like, look at another bloke, sort of slightly obsessing to a point. But there's no like, for me, there was like no like sexual stuff. But you're thinking, I'd be obsessed with this bloke.
There's something about there's a comic called Marcus Bergman. And when he and I were mates, I used to love hanging around with him.
Yeah,
I haven't seen him for a while. What with one thing and another. But you know, when we hook up again, it's just nice to be around each other.
Yeah.
But it's nothing sexual. We just like, I just really like his company. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of men have that. A lot of men are like, oh, I love hanging out with Gary. He's just a top bloke. But they go, oh, I ain't going nothing. Yeah. I ain't going nothing. But you go, look, it's the feelings are more fluid than that. It's not just like, you're not just like straight down the line.
Yeah, because I think they say it's a spectrum, don't they?
Yeah. So you might have feelings for your mate, but it's not necessarily, you know, sexual.
I've pondered it, right? And this is the way I look at it, is like, what I think, I could say a man is handsome. I think that is a handsome. But I think the emotion that comes over me is probably one more of envy. I want to look like that. I wish I looked like that.
Yeah.
And then that's where, like, I remember being as a kid and having like photos of David Beckham everywhere.
Yeah.
And I remember like someone pointing out that they weren't even playing football.
Him in a suit.
Yeah, no, with his top off. Like, why have you got that poster? Oh, I don't know. Just, you know,
why is it on the ceiling above your bed?
Why is it all sticky?
Yeah. You've got some reach on you. But I mean, I think what it comes down to, if you really want to know what you're into, really, is when you're on your own, when you're masturbating, what are you thinking about? When no one else is around, when you're on your own, what is it you think about that gets you off? And that's that's your sort of...
Are you read any Carl Jung?
No. Right, I know of him.
So it's quite. So it's about like the shadow. So you've got. I'm gonna butcher this, but this is how I understand. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But so it's like you've got your ego, and like so that's the person you pretend to be.
Oh, the ego and the id.
Yeah, no, but it's the ego, and then there's like the shadow.
Right.
There's
okay.
Another. There's other elements to it. Again, I'm not.
Yeah.
Educated. This is how I perceive it. So basically, there's the way to know your true self is when them two things align, where it's like the, it's all in correlation. You know what I mean? So the what people do, the dark side of them,
mm.
So that could be like sexual desires or like violent tendencies and all that. If you suppress it, it makes you a worse person.
Yeah, right.
So if you can get to know that part of you, like I've done a lot of soul searching, and I think it just come up before. I'm quite a jealous person. I'm quite envious.
Are you really?
Quite sort of like
of everybody or
no? Just like I'm listening to a book at the moment called The Chimp Paradox.
Yes, I've got that.
It's quite, and it's that thing. But I think it's a survival thing.
Yeah.
So it's like oh, if he's doing better than me, I'm not going to be. I won't be doing as good.
Yes.
So therefore,
you'll get left behind.
Yeah. So then, so it's that way of looking. But when you look at Carl Jung and things like that, it's about so them dark desires or them things. The worst thing to do is push it away.
Get
to know it and say, right, what is this? What is this? And you sort of have to bring it into your life in a way.
Yeah.
So I've realised that with like, so the way I do it is, because there's a big ego. So I do it now, I do it with comedy. So it's like, that thing of like people laughing at you and clapping that. You need to, what do they call it? Like feed the ego. You need that part.
Yeah.
It's a part of you. That you need to,
then
so if you long do that little bit where you get your little bit of praise and you pat you on your head, tells you're a good boy, then you can then you can carry on being nice and giving to everyone else. Do you know what I mean? But you need that little bit. I think there's a lot of that in comedy, isn't it? You just people surprised, you're a good boy, you are. Thanks.
Can't come back and do it again.
I think there's a lot of that.
But we do need that. We do need affirmation, and that's. Yeah, I used to be terrible for that. I mean, I've had counselling and I've gone off and. Because what was happening, my counsellor said to me, what was happening? I was getting into relationships, but I was fucking them up.
Right.
And then the counsellor was going, well, he goes, what's happening is, he goes, you want affirmation from women, all women that you meet. You want them to turn around and go, you're a good person.
Yeah.
Good person. And I would go all out and fling myself into relationships and then go, and as soon as I got the affirmation, when I go, yeah, you're a great bloke, you're that, I'd go, right, I've got it.
Yeah.
And then go, oh, fuck, I don't want to be in this relationship. I've flung myself into it,
trying
to make them think I'm the best thing ever. And it fucks you up. It fucks them up. It fucks you up. And you end up getting the opposite of what you wanted. Because they go, this fucking dickhead. I'm going to ruin my life.
Yeah. I was really watching something earlier where they said that comes from... but as a kid, it's not your... What they call it? Your emotions not getting validated.
Yeah.
So if someone goes... If you go to your parent or whatever, oh, this hurt, I don't like this. And they go, oh, no, you're right.
Yeah,
it fucks you up.
Yeah.
So then you search for validation in other ways. You think, oh, okay, I don't know. You're all confused. You know what I mean? So then you go looking for it. And there's another thing of like when you're a kid, like you know they fucking wipe your ass. Well, when you're an adult, for you.
They just leave you sitting in the back of the car
in a towel. Get a dog towel. Wipe his ass. You know what I mean? You wipe your nose. Wipe your ass. Do everything for you.
Yeah.
And then you get to an adult, and people just don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, where's all that attention gone? Do you know what I mean? And you're just left wandering around going, like me.
That's the thing. And then like, I remember my mum going, you get to 18, you're out on your own. And you go, hang on a minute, I didn't fuck and make me.
Yeah.
You did that. And now I'm the issue. It's like you had sex, I popped out.
Yeah.
And now you're suddenly telling me that I get to this age and I'm on my own. And you kind of go, you don't want to go, well, I didn't ask to be born. But there's a part of you goes like, I don't know what to say. It's like, thanks.
Well, I do think that if from being a parent, having a parent, all that sort of stuff, like if now we know what we're doing in life, you can take a bit of time.
Yeah.
And if you want to have kids, you've got to have half a hold of your own life.
Yeah.
A little bit. Do you know? Because before it's just, just fucking pop them out. And then you put your own shit on your kid. And then your kid's fucked. And it just keeps going. Do you know what I mean? You've got to have half an idea of yourself first.
Yeah.
You're never going to suss it out, but just have a bit of an idea. You know?
Yeah.
I think, like, I was saying this to my missus the other day. We're of a generation now where we're very, we can be self-reflective and, do you know what I mean? We can work. But parents, like my dad's generation, mum, they just used to crack on.
Yeah.
Crack on with shit. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And if you got an emotion pop up, get pissed.
That's it, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Push that down. Do you know what I mean? Fuck that. Do you know what I mean? But now we're all sort of like, we've got feelings in that and we talk about it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, what we're at the minute, we're in the middle of this massive overcorrection. So it's gone, it'll always go too far the other way. And it'll get to a point, loads of people going, oh God, this again.
Yeah.
I know, we're talking about mental health. All right, yeah. I get it. But what'll happen is it'll level out again and it'll just mean that everyone's a little bit more open. Like the next generation, they're going to be more open than we ever were.
Yeah.
And our parents were. Like my
you think it's swinging too far now?
Like everything does, it'll always swing too far and then it'll swing back a little bit. And so, like with my dad, the other day I was around there and he just, I can't remember what was on the television and something happened and he just went, I suppose you're going to come out more of your woke bullshit. And I went, no, I'm not woke. I'm just saying like a bit more understanding is what, and he goes, oh, this again. And then we're in the car, he's giving me a lift to the station. And I don't know what happened. And he just started telling me, I knew roughly about his mum and dad. I knew his mum was an absolute arsehole. Like a woman made of granite. She was horrible and put him through hell. And he just starts telling me about it. And we sat there for ages and he's telling me all about it. And he's 76. And then I just sat there and I went, that's all right, wasn't it? And he went, yeah. Anyway, see you later on. So, you know, it's there. But this is the first time they've had the opportunity.
Was your dad like an affectionate dad?
Kissing never. No, my mum and dad were never sort of kissing and cuddling. Mum and all that. No, never. It wasn't until later on when I started to make a point of going, I love you.
Yeah.
But they were never, it was never like, oh, come here, you. Or it was almost like, I think, and I might be wrong, I don't think I was planned. So I think I popped out and I'm like, ah, fucking ruined our line. Oh, we better make him a brother, keep you quiet. And then my brother and I were fucking around with my mum's diaphragm years later. And we think we put a hole in it because then my sister was born. There's like a 7-year age gap.
Right.
So we think we might have fucked it. That's why my sister is. I might be wrong.
Yeah.
But that's what it seems like. But no, they're good people and they gave us everything we wanted. We didn't want for anything. But affection wasn't something that they gave out, you know.
Because it's big in my family.
Really?
Yeah, like really. And I'm thinking like, how much? Because I still give a, like, we say hello, goodbye, I give him a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah, right. I do now. I give my dad a cuddle.
Yeah.
Give me mum a cuddle.
And I'm like, I think to people it does look. Look, my dad's a black cab driver, right?
So that's right. Like, that's just weird now.
So sometimes you give me a lift somewhere, and I'll get out and give him a kiss, and then people think, is that what he's charging him for? It's weird to see that. Yeah,
like,
you know,
like we've already discussed, you've got to get your money from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's nice though that you've got that with your dad, especially with your dad. It sounds to me like he's like proper.
He's old school.
The old school working class cab driver.
Yeah.
You know, like you say, like if you were to go to him, go, oh, Dad, I'm feeling a little bit depressed. You're like, I'll pull yourself together, son.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of element of, you know, fucking cheer up.
Yeah. That's that. Have a point.
Yeah, just cheer up. But I think he's a bit more open than a lot of. Cause only from not doing his podcast and chatting to our people's dads are. I realise it's a very old, like, very closed off thing. I think, like, now, this is what I was thinking actually. Like the age I am, having kids and that, I'm much more hands on now. You know, like, but like I still go to work. You do the main breadwinner thing, but then you got to do the school runs and do all that. I think sometimes with like that dad's like me, it's like sometimes you've got no reference to how to do it. You'll see it a lot, right? As in like when you queue up to take your kids to school, right? Women have got it sus because they watch their mums do it. Yeah. So they all stand together and chat. And then every group of women is separated by one bloke trying not to make eye contact. All socially, all, you know, we're like as blokes, like, I'm not standing around and chatting.
Well, what you're trying to do as well, you're trying to show everyone that you're there or you're supposed to be there and not a sex offender. Yeah. You've got a picture of your own kids around your neck going, I meant to pick these up. These are mine.
Because there's always that thing. Because I'm quite a socially awkward person as well. And my my boy will do a thing where, like, we had it today, walking along, and he's calling one of his mates' names. Like,
right.
Yeah, and I'm going, I don't. I'll have to walk along with the parent then and make a conversation. Stop calling them. We'll walk on our own. So that's me. That's what I'm saying. I'm putting my shit on him now.
I'm making
him socially awkward. Don't ever stop and talk to people in the street. Don't do that.
And he's having a great time.
Yeah, he don't care. Yeah.
I'm not going to hold you. Yeah.
Stop being sociable. What are you doing?
Mate, but it's hard being a parent. Of course it is. You know, you don't know. When you know what your parents... And don't get me wrong, my parents, they showed love and affection in other ways. Like I say, they never wanted for anything.
Yeah.
You know, we had a roof over our head, we were fed, watered, we had clothes and all that sort of shit. Yeah. But there was the odd time, I think, like you do with your own kids, you kind of go, I need to put a bit more effort into this.
Yeah.
So I remember Dad went through a phase of reading us bedtime stories and things like that. And I'm like, Dad, I'm 18. reading bits of nuts out. But when we were younger and he was reading bedtime stories and things like that, and you know, so yeah, we're just figuring it out, aren't we?
Because there's a bit of your brain as well where you take him down the park and my head goes, is that enough? Can we go?
Yeah. But that's why soft play is great.
Yeah.
Instead of soft play, just fuck off for an hour.
But I do think there's such a thing as like this overparenting thing, though. You know, like when you do that thing where you're like, I reckon I've got this theory. If you talk to your kid like a div, your kid will be a div. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah. Yes. And now the man is stacking the shelf. They say it like that. You think?
Yeah.
Or like, you know what I mean? You get these parents down the park who do this thing where they're doing good parenting, but all I do is shout in front of you.
Yeah, it's performative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, let the little boy have a go. Let the other little boy have a go. They do all that shit. Yeah, I'm just there on my phone.
Yeah.
Fucking hurry up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, all right, mate. Yeah. It's like that bit in Afterlife, Ricky Gervais, and he's in the tea shop with his workmate, and there's that father with his kid. And he's just over the top going, well, that's right, isn't it?
I've not seen it. Eating the thing.
And he's like, and then Ricky Gervais says, God, and they have this back and forth. Yeah. But it's like that. There is a lot of that. Or you'll see parents in the rush hour on the underground. And that's the time that they go, oh, yeah, my little boy's going to learn how to put his own ticket in the machine.
Instead of going, now ain't the time, mate.
Yeah. But he's got the ticket machine. He's like, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
Where do you want to go? That's right, T. And you're like, mate, I will back the parent out of the way. I've got a place to be.
Because this is what I'm saying. I do think we need to find that happy, like, that middle ground of, like, because you know, this is the thing, right? If you, who said it? Like, if your parents weren't a little bit fucked up, you're boring.
You need
them to fuck you up a little bit to make you an interesting person. Do you know what I mean? So I think you do need a little bit of. You need to find a middle ground, I think, because if you overdo it and like be this really like liberal parent, you know what I mean, you're gonna grow up cunts.
Exactly. There's something I'm watching at the minute. My missus put it on. I can't remember what it's called, but it's by Dolly Alderton. And there's a bit in it where the main character, she ends up giving a pill to this one of their parents' friends by accident, right? And then there's this big, she gets bollocked the next day. And she has a go at him going, look, you love me too much. You overdid it. Yeah. Like, you know, you told me I could be anything. You overdid it. So that's the thing. Yeah. Like you say, you got to find that middle ground.
Yeah, you got a bit of...
Yeah, otherwise it just comes. Really.
What was, because you like working class background at,
mm.
what, how did you find telling your parents you want to be a comedian, like, sort of like coming out?
Even now, I'm 18 years in. Yeah. I'll be 19 years in October. Yeah. Even now, I see my mum and she just goes, "We're getting paid."
Yeah,
I'm like, "Yeah, what do you think I've been doing?" There's still, I'm not getting paid enough. There's still times I go, "Mum, I need a couple of quid." but that's what happens when you're doing this sort of thing. But yeah, there was a moment I said to Mum, I'm thinking about learning how to be a barber. I was into that.
I did that as well.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a barber, right? And just as an aside, because my old flatmate Sweeney, he's a barber. And I do you know what? I didn't get it. His name's Sweeney, he's a barber. Didn't click. And then I said to my mum, I said, I'm going to try to be a barber. She went, finally, you're going to get a proper job. I'm like, but Mum, I'm really good at comedy. I don't think you understand. Like, I've worked really hard, I'm doing really well, but they still don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, my parents are supportive now, but I think it was that thing of like, it's like I felt shame admitting that I had the thing where I've been a carpet fitter my whole life and I've always hated it. Just it was that thing of get a trade.
Yeah,
you know?
That's it, yeah.
And then, so I used to have these little creative things I do. Like, once I was going to make my own burger. A gourmet burger company called Dorothy Gherkins.
Right? You still got to do that.
Well, I did a sign up, paid £600 for a barber course, and never went. House producer, produced house music.
Did you?
I did all these things, but I knew stand-up comedy is what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I was trying all these little things was me sort of... I was like... scared to admit that's what I wanted to do.
I'm trying to work it out.
I think it might be that thing of like, because what there's one turnaround people saying, I think I'm funny enough. stand on stage and everyone listens.
Oh, yeah, it's arrogant.
Because I think, like, when you work, if I said that to someone in the van, I go, shut up. you just how it is, isn't it? You just get you get knocked down a peg. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
I think this is the difference between, like, middle class and working class comedians. I personally think, I don't know. I can only talk from experience of what it's like being working class. But whatever you do, you get knocked back down. You do something good, someone in the van or someone will go, "What are you fucking doing that for?" This is how it is. Do you know what I mean?
A lot of that comes from their insecurity.
Yeah, but you don't know that.
No, of course you don't know that.
But I think I'm guessing from the, like, because the confidence on some of these people, and I think if they went to their parents, "I want to do performance on stage," they go, "Yeah, you go and do that."
Yeah.
And maybe they've got maybe more of a financial backing to go and do that.
Well, it's got a lot of my lads. So my lads are 25 and 30. And my eldest is a dancer in Bristol. He does choreography and goes around all the schools and teaches kids to do like street dance. And then my youngest is a drummer. He's studying music at BIM, the big music college in Bristol. And so they've always had that, because I've done this I've done this since they've been kids.
Right.
So they kind of, they knew the option was there, whereas I didn't. And my dad was pretty cool with it, actually. My dad was always like, I want to be in a band, Dad. And he's like, "When you make your first million, I'll be your accountant."
Yeah.
So there's all that. Whereas your mum was more like, "You get a job."
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what job, just get a job. Because then you're going to meet someone, a woman, and then you're going to have kids.
Yeah.
And then you're going to die, and that's your life. And you're like, "Right." There's all that shit. Yeah. So my dad was a bit more open to, I think, because I was, that's the thing. I say working class, but I'm not middle class. It's a bit more fluid than that, because my dad went to art college and my dad was a civil servant. His boss was Gordon Brown.
Right.
So there was always literature around. There was always music around.
Okay,
and my dad was always painting. And then mum worked 40 million hours down the mines, doing it. So she was proper working class. So I've got it sort of a mixed mash of everything. So my lads had that. They were open to that sort of thing. So I didn't really feel like I was coming out when I said I'm going to be a comic.
Right.
They just can't understand how you make money from it.
Yeah.
They just don't. It just doesn't compute. You know. Yeah. They don't understand that we have to drive to Leeds on Thursday for 20 quid.
But that's the thing. I think when I first started stand up as well, when you're doing blokes in the van always. So how much are you getting paid for that? I'm like, nothing. But I love it. They can't work it out.
Doesn't make sense.
They just can't work it out. What do you mean? Like, they don't get it.
And the other thing is as well, the funniest bloke on the building site might not necessarily be the funniest bloke in a comedy club.
Yeah.
Like, he's funny, ripping it out. And I've known guys like that. I remember there was a guy called Lee when I was a comedy chef at the Independent, the newspaper. And he was fucking hilarious. What was his name? Lee Dixon or something like that. And he used to just crack me up. And then one day he just said to me, he was laughing as well. He goes, "I don't even know I'm going to say half of this stuff. It just comes out of me." But I don't know if he'd be able to translate that into club comedy. I don't know if he could do it.
Yeah, I think there's always a way. There's always a way. You've got to be funny. But was your dad funny? Or is your dad funny?
My dad's very dry, very witty.
Because did you watch? Where did your thing for comedy come from, though? Did you watch people go, "I want to do that"? Or?
My mate Tom, who I've known since I was three, and my next door neighbour, they're older, Alan and Tommy. So as Alan and Tommy live next door, and they're older, so he used to give me all music and clothes and all that sort of thing. And then Tom, my mate Tom, who used to live around the corner, he used to give me "Have you listened to Bill Hicks?" I'm like, "Who the fuck's Bill Hicks?" And he's give me that, Lee Evans, Jack D. Then my neighbours gave me Eddie Murphy. And then from that, I was talking to someone about it, and they went, "Well, you know, that's Richard Pryor." And then you go back.
Yeah.
So I grew up with it, but at no point did I go, "Oh, I'm going to do that." Because I'm fundamentally quite a shy person. So I'm like, there's never in a million years I'm going to stand in front of people and do that. So to be doing that, to be coming up to like 19 years in, and I'm like, I do what?
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it? Because I had that thing of like, where it's like the idea of doing that, you just like talking before about suppressing thoughts.
Yeah.
Deep down, I really want to stand on stage. And as soon as you think about it, you go, "Now, fuck that." Do you know what I mean? You go, "Nah, I'll just do it at a pub. I'll just do that."
But that's it. And you don't realise, and you've probably been doing this your whole time, when you're in front of your mates and you're telling stories and you're trying to get them to laugh, you're trying to make them laugh, and you'll go home and you'll think about it and go, "Oh, that was a good story, that." But subconsciously, you don't realise you're practising.
Yeah.
For later on.
Yeah.
You know, everyone, the guy on the site, probably wants to do it. He probably would, but he hasn't got the bollocks.
Yeah.
You know, or he doesn't know how you do it.
But I had a few things I would do. I remember when Facebook first came out and it used to be a status.
Yeah.
Like, just if it is.
Used to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember I used to write something and go dot, 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 say something else. And I realised what I was doing. I was making jokes.
Yeah.
Looking back, it's like a set up punchline.
See?
That's what I was doing the whole time.
You were practicing.
And then I remember once I used to do funny videos on my phone and send them to my mates in the WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
And then I remember like 10 years ago, one got big on Facebook. It started going around. And it weren't until like, say, 2-3 years ago, I thought, well, I'll just stop. It's just lockdown. I started doing it on my phone and it just things grew up from there. But the stand up itself, though, because I remember did a speech at, I think this happens a lot, doing a speech at a wedding.
Yeah.
And you think, I like this. I like this feeling.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Feeding the beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's for all, it'll get you. If there's someone listening to this and you want to do comedy, just go and do it. The hardest thing is going and doing it.
Yeah.
So find an open mic night somewhere. There'll be somewhere, and they'll just go down and go, look, I want to give it a bash. And it might not be that night. They might say, like, all right, you've got 5 minutes, come back in whenever. But if you're feeling it, go and do it. That's literally it.
I think that's good advice.
Yeah.
Have you ever been arrested?
Yes. Again, like I said earlier, I'm not criminally minded. I never could have got into that game. I just haven't got that with that kind of, I remember someone, we were in a nightclub and I was with one of the lads and he had a load of things on him. Load of pills, and he just went. He goes, I need something to put all these pills in. And I'd just been paid, so I had this envelope. So I took out all my money and I put it in my pocket. And then I went, yeah. And it was under the neon light on a dance floor in the middle of a fucking nightclub. And I've given him this bright white envelope. I whack him in that. And he's like, looks at me like, what are you doing? Yeah. So I was never going to be the craze or anything like that. I'd just done a big gig at Leicester Square Theatre supporting another act, and he was like, oh look, we're going for a meeting with Universal after this, we have a few drinks, do you want to come because we're going to talk about my DVD and all that sort of thing. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. Anyway, afterwards when the show's finished and he comes through and he went, sorry man, he goes, I've got to dump you. He goes, they've actually said that I can't bring you. All right. So I felt like a bit of a cunt.
That's a horrible feeling.
Yeah, so I'm like, all right. He went, listen, man. He goes, I'll make it up to you. I'll talk to you later. Anyway, so I wait for all of them to leave and I finish my beer and then I walk out through the theatre and it's just, there's no one in it now. There's just the staff cleaning it up. And I'm like, walk through it. It was real like, I just had a blinder and now I feel like, Anyway.
My heart goes out to you now.
So I was like, I don't want to go home feeling like this. So I knew I had some mates that were out in Clapham Common. And I went, you still out? And they went, oh yeah, come over. We're in this pub. And it was in the summer as well. So everyone's outside by Clapham Station, Clapham Common Station. So I meet them, we get a pint. I'm halfway through the first pint and we're outside. And there's loads of us out there, loads of people out there. And then this guy just keeps he's bouncing around through the crowd asking for change. He comes up to us. He's like, hey, lads, I need 50p. And we're like, oh, hang on, mate. All right. So we end up, we give him like £3. We're like, yeah, mate. And he went, oh, that's brilliant. Let me give you something. I want to give you something for that. And we're like, no, mate, listen, we don't want anything. You're fine. So he starts rummaging around in his pants. He's got his jogging bottoms on and he's rummaging around and we're like, oh my God, whatever it is, we don't want it. It's in his pants. So he goes, mate, yeah, no, sort you out. So then he goes, oh, come over here. So we go away, we're kind of on the edge of everybody. And he's like, no, sort you out. And then me and my mate were going, look, whatever it is, it's going to be shit. Let's just get it off him, fuck him off, and we'll just throw it away. It was like, and we made a joke going, it's probably shit, cocaine or something that we don't want. Whatever it is, he's going to give it to us. We'll bin it. We'll fuck off back to the lads. Anyway, so he goes, here you go. And he gives me, as he goes like that, and he has it in his hand, and I go like that. As I reach out and take it, this plainclothes police woman just pops up, and she goes, yeah, you're under arrest for suspicion of drug dealing. And I went, are you fucking kidding? And my mate just goes all big eyed like, oh my God. And I'm just stood there because I had it in my hand. I get handcuffed. They handcuff the guy and my mate goes, oh shit. I'm like, and I just don't know what to say. I've never been arrested. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I'm literally halfway through my first pint. And then so then I'm sat in the back of the car and all my mates are going right by the window going, What the fuck? I don't know. So I'm driven off to Kennington Police Station and I'm like, oh, this is the worst day of my life. And I'm just sat there, and then they took me in, and then the guy went, and then the guy behind the counter just went, so what's it? He's being arrested on suspicious drug dealing. And he sort of looked at me, and they went, okay. And then they sort of told the story, and then they went, right. He looked at me like, oh, right, okay. So anyway, so as I'm getting put in the thing, I'm sat outside by the guys writing the thing down at the desk. And then I hear the guy from before, the drug dealer, and I can hear him going, he goes, I don't know the guy. He goes, I don't know him. He goes, I literally just come up to him asking for change. I'm like, oh, well, thank fuck for that. So he's going, I don't know him. Anyway, they kept me in all night. Because that's the thing, if you get arrested at night, in the evening, you're there all night.
Yeah,
because you're waiting for CID, whoever you're waiting for, to come in the morning. So I'm, oh, mate, I felt like I was Steve McQueen in this Great Escape. I'm walking around. I'm doing press-ups. So I end up, they give me some shit food, and the thing is, you don't know what time it is either. They're taking all your bits off you. You don't know what time it is. You have no idea if you've been in there an hour or 10 hours. It's weird. So then, and then the guy comes, because I was just waiting for this guy from CID to come through. Anyway, he comes through in the morning, and he sits me down in the interview room, and I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. They've already taken a swab as well of all your inside your mouth and things like that. Anyway, so then he's sitting there and he just goes, the policewoman was listening to your conversation the whole time. And she said, and he said, like, and then you said, well, it's probably cocaine. And said, and then, I went, yeah. And I went, yeah. He goes, well, how would you know? I went, because anyone would know what was going on. So we were back and forth. He's going, yeah, but we've taken a swab out of your mouth. You've got cocaine in your system. And I was like, fuck.
I am a drug addict.
And then I'm like, just remembered. Oh, shit. I'd been to a party like 3 days before, and I remember being at the party, and I was like, no, I'm all right. And then my mate goes, have a little bump. I mean, all right, I'll have a bit, because I was lagging a little bit. I'm like, all right, yeah, better brighten me up. So I have a little bit, and I'm like, oh my God, yeah, it's that bit, isn't it? Oh, shit. So then we're talking, and he goes, look, he goes, this is what happened, this is what was said, blah, 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 why did you say that, blah, blah. And then I went, look, I just think we were just being flippant, mate. And he went, right. I went, yeah, that's all it was. We were just mucking around. We knew it was a bit of a wrong, and we were just going, no, you know, it was just a flippant comment, just a throwaway remark. And he went, right, okay. Anyway, so then I go back in, he comes back out, and then he goes, right, he goes, Mr. Wilson, you're free to go. We're going to give you a caution. But then you've got to go and attend this drugs thing.
Oh.
Go and have one meeting I had to go to just to see what the score was. And I genuinely think it's because I used the word flippant that he went, oh, yeah, this bloke's fine.
Because it's a good word.
Yeah. Well, you haven't heard that at 9 a.m. in Kennington Police Station. That was it, because his face went, oh, right.
Well, so drug addicts don't know the word
flippant. Yeah. It might have just gone like, nah, you can't. No, mate, just being flippant. Yeah.
I was just being flippant. Oh, good, yeah, you can't. Ah, you've ruined it right here and then.
I think because I used that, and I tell you what was funny, when I came out, I didn't realise my mates had been down trying to get me out, and they're doing it, and they're like, oh, we're going to spring him. I ran home that day, that morning. I was like kissing shopkeepers. I was like high-fiving bus drivers. I was like Shawshank. I've only been in there 11 hours. So, yeah, I have, unfortunately.
There you go.
So, yeah, don't talk to strangers, kids.
Right, we're going to wrap this up. Hey, Rich.
Thanks for
nice.
That.
Lovely conversation.
Yeah, nice one, man.
Nice.
Thanks for having me.
Are you in Edinburgh this year?
I'm in Edinburgh. I'm up the road, Just a Tonic, 9:20 every night. I'm also doing Comedy Arcade at Underbelly, which is a panel show with Vic Slayton. Different comics every night. That's at 11:20. Yeah. And I'll be bouncing around doing whatever. And also, I've got my podcast as well, Insane in the Membrane, which is available on all podcast platforms.
Check Rich out.
Thank you.
Been great, mate.
Mate, thanks for having me.
No, honestly, it's been lovely. Cheers. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.